I'm glad you're able to be present. I hope that all of you will continue to enjoy good health, and that not only as you carry out your daily activities, but as you dedicate yourself to the service of God, that you will indeed be able to fulfill all of those things that the Lord would have you to do. Well, we're attracted to various passages of Scripture. I think one reason why we may be attracted to a particular passage of Scripture is, just because of the way it's worded. I have been looking at the 118th Psalm, and I noticed as I read along that I came to verse 24, and it says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Now, I wish I had the knowledge, I wish I had the capability to know what particular day the psalmist had in mind. I noticed that the scholars have puzzled. They have made various suggestions about what this day is that the Lord had made. It evidently was a very happy day. He says, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Some have supposed that this was a festive day for the Jewish nations, as this individual would have gone up to offer sacrifices to God. All of that is kind of combined in the 118th Psalm, but the heading simply says, "Praise to God for His everlasting mercy." Well, whenever we think about this is the day that the Lord has made, we say, well, in one sense of the word, every day is the day the Lord has made. As we get along in years in particular, I haven't gotten there yet, but as we get along in years and we open our eyes of the morning and we look around and maybe we see the sunshine as it is streaming through our window and we say, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for making this day and giving me the opportunity to live in it. Help me to do good today." In one sense of the word, every day is the day that the Lord has made. But we think about special days. Evidently, this indicates it was some special day that the psalmist has in mind. Well, in the Old Testament era, of course, there would be many such spectacular, wonderful days. The day of creation. The day of creation. This is the day that the Lord has made. The Lord's words in the book of Job, we find in chapter 38, as our Lord mentions concerning the creation, he says in verse 7, there was something wonderful that happened at the creation. He says, "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Did you know that the stars can sing? I wonder what song they were singing at the creation. The morning stars all sang together. The creation. What a wonderful day that was when the Lord brought the world into being. Well, you may go ahead, though, and go further in the Old Testament. You may think about the day in which Solomon had completed the building of the temple. All of those years of building that magnificent temple, and then in the Kings, we're able to read what a time of celebration that was for the Jewish people, and how it was that it was such a great joyful occasion that now they would be able to enter into the temple and they would be able to offer all of their wonderful sacrifices to God. You might think about the day of the Passover and how this became not only a very solemn day, but also a day of thanksgiving for the Jews as they remembered their deliverance from Egypt. Well, so there are a lot of days that we can think of that the Lord has made. The psalm reached out to me in that way as I thought, this is the day the Lord has made. But you know, there is a hint in the verses that come before us that tell us really there is a spiritual application that we're able to make. So this time, I don't want you to begin with verse 24. I want you to begin with verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Who is that referring to? Well, we know because now we turn to the pages of the New Testament. In Matthew's Gospel, the 21st chapter and verse 42, we notice that the Lord uses this very passage of Scripture. Who does He apply it to? Himself. The Jews had rejected our Lord, and yet God had made Him the head of the corner. Again, in both Mark and Luke's account, this passage is referred to. In Acts 4 and verse 11, Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, chooses this very passage in Psalm 118 in order again to reinforce to that Jewish audience. This is talking about Jesus Christ. Well, now then, I think not so much about the Old Testament days that we can remember. Rather, I began to look to the New Testament. And while, again, I say, I really don't know what day the psalmist had in mind in the beginning. But you think about the days of the New Testament that would have reference to our Lord Jesus Christ and have reference to these spiritual things that came about because Jesus is the elected one of God to become that chief cornerstone, that stone that would be prominent in the building. What days do we think of? I hope I don't overlook some of them, but I might. A day of rejoicing was the day when our Lord was born. You know, that was the Lord's doings. That day that He had set aside in the history of the world. After all of those hundreds, thousands of years of mankind existing here on earth. Now then, God says, this is the day in which my son will be born. Was it an accident? Oh, no. Ephesians 3:11 tells us that the coming of our Lord on that day, it was according to the eternal purpose of God. Oh, you know, the more that I think about the birth of Christ, the more I realize this was God's day. This was the day that God had intended. We don't just wait until once a year for us to think about the birth of Christ. But Luke, the second chapter, records the joy that was found on that day as the angel appears to the shepherds. I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. What if that day had not happened? Have you thought of that? You see, all of this was through the voluntary care and love that God had for mankind. Why did Jesus come? He came in order that he not only would be the Savior of that generation way, way back then, but in order that he might be your Savior. His birth, taking on the form of man, it was absolutely necessary. The more that we think about our Lord's coming to earth, the more we are able to praise God and to say how wonderful it is that Jesus was willing. The scripture describes it as he became poor for our sakes in order that we might become rich. And oh, how rich we have become because our Savior came to earth. It was not always a joyful time for our Lord here on earth. He took on all of the burdens of his fellow man. He suffered all of those pains. And finally, that day, that was not a day of rejoicing, but that day that he died on the cross. Nature rebelled. Darkness came upon the face of the earth. That veil that hung between the holy place and the most holy place, it was rent asunder. All of those things occurred. But in just a very short time, I want to mention another day. It was the day of the resurrection of our Lord. It was the day that God had made, and there had never, ever been a day like it. Never, ever. Oh, you say, Gene, now wait a minute. I am able to read throughout both the Old and the New Testament of people being restored from the dead. Elisha was able to do that. And when we come to the New Testament, well, over and over again, we read of a number of people, Lazarus and Dorcas and others that were raised from the dead. Oh, but there's never been a resurrection like on that day when our Lord was raised from the dead. Well, we're able to rejoice in that. We're able to marvel at it. It has become so firmly fixed in the gospel. The gospel would be incomplete if all that we could talk about was the day of his birth and the day of his death, the day of the resurrection. And what does it mean as we think about the day that the Lord has made? Well, just in very simple terms, just in everyday language, you and I are able to repeat, first of all, to ourselves, but then as we repeat it to our children, as we repeat it to our mother and father, as we repeat it to our friends. Because Jesus died. Are you thinking with me? Because Jesus died, and because he was raised from the dead on that resurrection day, you and I will also be raised from the dead. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Oh, I'm going to die. There's no doubt of that. I'm going to pass away from earth's scene. There will come a time whenever my spirit will leave my body, this old earthly tent, and that tent will be folded up, it will be put away, it will just return unto the dust of the ground. But the day that I look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I say, that day that God made, do you know why he made it? He made it so that I too am going to be resurrected from the dead. What other day can you think of? You say, well, I can think of several. Well, I want to talk to you about another day the Lord has made. Do you know which day that is? That's the first day of the week. That's the first day of the week. God made every day, but he made the first day of the week. Well, what all happened on that day? Well, all four of the Gospels, they are so clear in telling us that it was the first day of the week when Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, you don't have to worry about that. Some folks, in order to twist what the Scriptures say, well, you've got to figure out the hours. You've got to try to determine, was it Saturday? And the answer is no, it was not Saturday. Jesus was not raised from the dead on Saturday. You can look at the closing chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And do you know what all four of those accounts say? The first day of the week. That was the day the Lord made. That was the day the Lord had appointed. Well, what else happened on the first day of the week? God chose that day for the church to have its beginning. Did you know that? The church didn't begin on Monday. The church didn't begin on Wednesday. The church didn't begin on Saturday. The church began on the first day of the week. How do you know? Well, you ought to mark in your Bible, if you haven't already done so, Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16, because it's just as clear can be. What were they to do whenever they were counting this Feast of Weeks, this day that became known in the New Testament scriptures as the day of Pentecost? They were to count to themselves seven Sabbaths. Now, I don't care how much trouble you've had with math in school. Every one of us can figure, well, seven Sabbaths, that works out 49 days, doesn't it? Seven times seven, 49. All right. But it was not on the 49th day. Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16 says, it was the day after that seventh Sabbath. Do you know what day that is? Do you know what day it was that God chose to make? It's the first day of the week. Jesus was raised from the dead on the first day of the week. The church had its beginning on the first day of the week. I'll tell you what's really important, though, for you and me as we make application. It's the day the Lord has made for worship. For public worship. Oh, I don't mean, and I would not want to tell you that you should not worship God every day of the week. But He chose certain things. And He said, this is the day that I have made, the first day of the week. And this is the day when I want all of you believers, I want all of you Christians, it doesn't matter what other activities you're going to be engaged in during the week, but on that first day of the week, don't you forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But He says, you come together on the first day of the week because He says, there's something I want you to do. I want you to remember my son's death on that day, Acts 20 and verse 7. On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Now, I don't want anybody to fool you. I don't want anybody. I've just had more than one person, some preachers, to argue about this and say, it ought to be on Saturday night. No, not to be on Saturday night. And you read Acts 20 and it wasn't Saturday night. And Paul didn't partake of the Lord's Supper Monday morning. When was it done? On the first day of the week. That's the day God has appointed for you and for me, don't you know? It's the day that He made, and you know how we ought to feel about it? We ought to be just as happy as we could be about anything. It is the day the Lord has made, and we'll rejoice in it. He also appointed that day whenever He said to Christians, this is the day that I want you to give of your money. You lay by in store because you purpose this in your heart. This is a deliberate act of worship. You're going to give a certain amount. He's going to leave it up to you. No elders, no preachers, nobody has the right to go around and knock on your door and say, I've come for your tithe. Do you know they do that in different parts of the world? I'm not kidding you. They don't even care whether you attend church or not. They're just going to go to your house and say, "We come for your money." God appointed that day, brother and sister, whenever you, because of your own volition, because you say, "I want to worship God, I am going to give a portion of that which God has given into my hand." 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. On the first day of the week. On the first day of the week. It's a day should be special to you. The world calls on us for so many things. I don't quarrel with people whenever there is an emergency or when there is a necessity. But you know, young people and older people, how good it would be if we would say, "I just have one priority on the first day of the week, and that is to serve God. I'm going to make that special day that God has made." Well, there's one more day coming. It's the day when the Lord will return. We don't know when. I appreciate religious folks, but you know, to go around either having a placard that you make or writing and saying, "Repent, for the Lord is coming soon," well, that's to assume something we just do not know. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 36, first of all, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." Verse 42. "Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Oh, my friends, it is going to be a day of rejoicing. That day the Lord has made, I can just hardly anticipate all of the happiness that is going to be on that day. Oh, my. But it's the greatest day of all. This whole world will just disappear. Have you been watching all of these crazy television shows? How to Survive Armageddon? Stock up all of your food now. Don't get cheese and bologna, because that will mold. You don't want to get our products in these cans that are sealed. You know you can survive Armageddon? Well, of course, they're all wrong about Armageddon anyway, but whenever this whole world ends, that's it, friends. You're not going to be around anymore. There aren't going to be any survivors in New York City. You don't have to worry about any dinosaurs. There isn't going to be a creature that will be left here on earth, because Peter says it's all just going to be burnt up, even the elements. It's the day. It's the day the Lord has made, and we'll rejoice in it. How wonderful, because we will flee this life. No more of the passions of the flesh to disturb, to tempt, to trouble. We'll be with the Lord forever. These are the days the Lord has made. Are you ready for that last great day?